Amen and amen. Can y'all give me an amen check to make sure this microphone is working? Because like a couple of weeks ago, we had a boo-boo, and I didn't have this thing plugged in, but apparently that camera picked it up because it's a built-in microphone and a camera. Because I had a laugh at my wife the other day when she came in the room. I was sitting here working on this message, and you know, she kind of peeked her head around that door. And I said, "What you doing?" She said, "Well, I don't want nobody on that camera to see me." I said, "Well, nobody's going to see you because it's not turned on." She said, "Well, how you know nobody's using it?" I said, "Trust me." I said, "I know the hack, but I got it rigged where I got the little black lens in front of it. So even if somebody did hack the camera and without the light not being on, they're only going to see darkness." So, you know, again, I was surprised that the microphone did pick up. So if they hear me talking to myself, they're going to say, "Well, that dude's nuts." So here it is. It's Friday again. It's another week has gone by. It is Friday night. It's time for our sermons. Again, Sarah, welcome. Lisa, Beth, Fred, it's good to see y'all again. And I was just telling Sarah, but I tell all of y'all, you know, I'm glad when I do see y'all here because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. When you show up for this, this encourages me. And you might think, well, how so? Because, again, you know, and I'm not trying to say anything bad, but, you know, I do sit down a lot. I go through all my preps and lookups and reviews and collect my thoughts to prep these messages together. And that does take a little of my time, you know. And I don't say I'm doing this just because it's taking up time, but it takes time. And, you know, and I can use these messages if I ever be a lead pastor of a church one day. So, you know, I got a stack of them, if you can see them, you know, actually over to my right, it's about that tall. And I got two filing cabinets back there. It's got 5 years worth of messages from doing this online for the last, since 2011. So, hey, I got plenty of messages to cover me for Sundays if I ever leave a church, at least almost 8 years worth. So, again, but y'all do encourage me. I want you to know that, you know. And I know times is difficult. I know work schedules and life and everything else comes into play. But, you know, me and some friends have always been talking about it. It seems like the small family-type Christian rooms that we have here is starting to go by the wayside. People are no longer wanting to be part of a small community, so to speak. They kind of don't want none of this. And there's some sites out there, I'm not going to name names, but one of them is a Christian site, call themselves a Christian site, but they allow cussing on the site. That to me, my friends, is not Christian. If you're using vulgar language in the name of Jesus Christ, then that's not of Christ. I'm sorry. But that chat room is popular. It is big. It's the number one room on the net, and people love it. But like, you know, I tell Lisa sometimes, you know, I don't know what's wrong with us. I don't know what else can we do. How can we keep people to stay here? I'm out of answers. I know God has to be the number one. God has to be the one to do it. But I don't know what else to do to try to keep people part of this community. So I'm at a loss. And this is why I was kind of throwing this around, so to speak, in the last several weeks. And I make notes. I got tablets there. I got tablets there. I got some of them on my right. I got tablets in the living room, in the bedroom. And I write a lot of this down. And I started piecing this together. And I think when y'all hear this, I think we can kind of understand what's going on today. But the question, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, I told someone this yesterday. How to listen to God in an age of noise. Think about that. How do we listen to God or people in general in an age of noise? And that's a good question to ask. You should ask yourself, and you should ask maybe other people, with all the noise going on in this world, how do we listen to God? And if I could see a raise of hands, you know, if I had live video feed and everything else, or if I was standing in the pulpit in the church, if I could see a raise of hands, I would ask you to raise your hand to answer this question. Do you sometimes have a hard time hearing God? Do you sometimes have a hard time hearing God or discerning God's voice? Yes, I do. And if you're like me, you know perfectly well that interruptions define our lives, do they not? I know it. Interruptions do define our lives. You see, the reason why I'm saying this, folks, because a lot of times, if you look at it this way, our days and nights are full of gadgets that ping, buzz, beat their way into our attention, taking us away from whatever we are doing. Our brain focuses quickly on one topic, and then it switches to another, and to another, and to another. It's really bizarre if you think about it. It's like we're constantly being overloaded. And did you know, and I had a, you know, I use illustrations in these messages. Did you know, and I was reading this on the internet, I forgot where I saw it. But did y'all know that, and I'm probably going to mess this word up because it's a very long word for me to pronounce. But did you know that neuroscientists says that there are fundamental biological limits to what our brains can pay attention to? Now, that was a long-winded sentence for me, folks, because I'm an old Cajun boy from down here in Louisiana. But neuroscientists are saying there's a fundamental biological limit to what our brain can pay attention to. And I believe it, especially in my age now. How about you? But it's hard. It's hard at times because I'm not going to pick on my wife. She was here. She'll probably point the finger at me if she's at work, so that way she can't defend herself. But it's hard to resist a blinking inbox or a buzzing phone, you know. And I know this is a regular phone, but we got smartphones. Ooh. You put it down, you do something, it's hard to resist it. It's like candy. We want it. It's kind of like this. Like a dog cannot resist a squirrel. When a dog sees a squirrel, y'all know what a dog does. He runs after it. Well, that's why we cannot resist inboxes and buzzing things and pinging things and dingy things and shiny things and incoming things and whatever. I found this study, though, which was interesting. You know, and I kind of like, I didn't know that. But one study has found that a typical college student, and Sarah, you might be able to relate to this. I'm not picking on you, dear, so, you know, this is not aimed at you. But one study has found that a typical college student can't go for more than 2 minutes without being distracted by social media. A college student today cannot go no more than 2 minutes without being distracted by social media. Whether it's Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, text, Instagram, FaceTiming, Zoom, Facebook, plain old web, you name it. It's hard to concentrate when you can't focus on one thing for no more than 2 minutes. Wow. And look, it's not just the younger people. People everywhere seems to be experiencing an epidemic of overwhelm. See, according to the studies, the average business person receives and sends out about 109 emails a day. An average person sends out about 109 emails a day. Well, apparently I'm not average because I ain't sent no emails out in quite a while. So I must be slow. But normal folks out there in this world, the busybodies is what I call, they generally may fall into that category. And at the rate, according to the study, it's growing about 7% per year. The younger generation is getting caught up in all that, but now many of the middle age and the olders are starting to get caught up in that. But like Lisa just said, I will admit it, I must be below average, because like I say, I'm trying to remember when's the last time I sent an email out. But the younger folks, I see they are caught up in all that. Busyness. But one thing I am caught up in a little bit, and I will admit this to you, because again, if I got to preach, I got to preach to myself. Texting right now is bombarding everyone. You go to a restaurant, what are they doing? You think you should be having a conversation eating? You go to a gathering. You're at home. You're in church, unfortunately. I see this myself as a pastor. And when you see people driving on the road, got their phone on the steering wheel, they're trying to do this too. Texting is really bombarding everybody. Everybody's caught up in it. Younger folks, middle-aged folks, older folks. Sometimes, man, you know, when I start texting them, I don't want to text them because sometimes they don't want to shut up. But I got a bad habit. I'm in it. I get a lot of texts throughout the day. Instead of being focused like when I try to write these messages or do preps for the Bible studies and stuff, whatever, I got a little weird little ring to my text. When it rings, well, guess what my mind's doing? I want to shut all this down and go see my text. Whew. See, text is bombarding everybody, folks. And according to a book called Driven to Distraction, all this stuff is a huge problem for everybody. There are now, and I didn't know this, there are now inpatient centers for people with technology addictions. Wow, really? I didn't know that. Technology addictions? You know what? I can relate to that because I was caught up in technology, PC gaming, RPG games, stuff like that. Gadgets, I had to have them. But it's become a huge problem today for many, even Christians, even evangelical Christians. So bad that with technology addiction, marriages are now breaking up because of it. See, the surge of texts and social media notification in recent years is giving many of us what we call terminal distraction and always on availability. Michael Salem, he said this, he's the co-founder of a company called Vortex. And he says this, I was really amazed, but he says this, you know, he's the company CEO of Vortex. He gets 1,000 text messages a day. 1,000 a day. He says, I'm overwhelmed, he admits. Responding is a daily thing, 24 hours a day to him. He barely sleeps. He's taking calls from global users of his product, even from his own bed. See, the idea that we're supposed to be able to monitor and troll through all of this stuff and keep a handle on what God is up to at the same time really seems absurd. Some people say things, oh, you know what? I hear this a lot in church now, too. And I kind of like, I don't tell them nothing, but I kind of shake my head and say things in my mind. But I've been hearing a lot of people lately, especially Christians, and when I see them in church or Bible studies, oh, Jim, you know, my life is on the internet. I'm constantly on the internet. If I'm not careful, I'm finding myself in that same predicament also. That's why y'all might have seen the pictures earlier. You know, I'm building a nativity scene. Or I try to get out and go cut grass. Or I try to go sit on my porch. Or go take walks or whatever. Because I'm trying to back off more away from this because I'm getting more and more involved on the internet. And many people are getting caught up in this, which means when they say, hey, you know what? My life is on the internet. Well, to me, that means it's not living in the real world. And with all those interruptions and distractions, how in the world are people supposed to be able to listen for and hear the voice of God? How in the world are they going to hear the voice of God with all this going on? How? So if you got your Bibles with you, our dear friend Lisa, she's going to post our reading scriptures. This is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. A lot of reading, yes. But read along with me. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare to those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was laying down in his own place. The lamp of God has not gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And he says, here I am. And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Eli kind of looked at him a little bit puzzled, but he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And then the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. He arose and went to Eli. He said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli, that's when I guess the light bulb moment came on. Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Then Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And in verse 10, the Lord came and stood calling as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you again for allowing us to gather here together and use this technology. We appreciate that you give us the opportunity to come and hear this message again, Father. You know, at times whenever you lead me to these directions, I don't know whether it's meant to speak to me or it's meant for somebody who's here today or meant for someone to listen to later on. I have no clue. But as Samuel just said, Lord, speak. Your servant is here. This is why I ask at times, Lord, speak. I'm your servant. I'm willing to hear. Lord, I am here. Speak to me. And I think all of us at times in this day and age, we need to hear from you. And yes, Lord, sometimes, you know, when I read these passages, I think I like to hear an audible voice too. That would be so cool. And I know sometimes that's not how you operate, but I believe you still do that. But there are other ways that you speak to us. Our problem is, as of late, we're caught up in the noise. We're not listening. We're not tuned to hear you. We're not setting our hearts right to hear you. We're not setting our minds right to hear you. We are getting caught up in social media and all this rat trap stuff that we're not hearing your voice. And it's been my prayer for the last several weeks in contemplating this message. Help me be still help me hear your voice. Help me hear you so I know which direction to go. Father, I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them, guard them, speak to their hearts. Speak to them and help them open their ears to hear. If we are honest with all of ourselves, we're getting too caught up in the noise of the world and distractions, and we're not listening as we should. I'm just saying it for me. I'm admitting to myself, I have not been listening as I should. Have the Holy Spirit move within us. And look, we get caught up in jobs, internet, texting, schools, you name it. And sometimes it is a bit overwhelming because a lot of times I think we're allowing it to happen because at times we get so consumed in it, we don't take the time to sit still to listen. And we need to learn how. Bless those who are here tonight. Bless those who cannot be here tonight. And Father, I pray that if there's any differences between any other people, and I've been thinking of this lately, help us reconcile those differences. We should not be separated. We should not be at each other. I'm hoping for those in the past that may misunderstood what I have said or did not agree with what I have said to someday come back together and fellowship as brothers and sisters. Thank you again for this wonderful day. We don't praise you enough, but I thank you for what you have done for us and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, y'all know the title of the message. The little bot in the room kind of posts this thing every hour, and I kind of do this all the time. And I still chuckle at a comment of a lady. She says, why does the bot keep asking the same question over and over? So, you know, I have to catch up with her one day and let her know why that's a message, but it's just a reminder, you know, so to speak. But the title of this message is for us and those online listeners who listen later on. Are we listening to God or garbage? Are we listening to God or garbage? So when you look at our reading scriptures, it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. It was very rare to hear the word of the Lord. There were not many visions. And what I think the writer of 1 Samuel is trying to tell us, even now, that people weren't listening. People are not listening. And God was talking. He was nudging people all the time. It was that God wasn't sending out visions or his word. It's that the people aren't hearing him. And in a lot of ways, you think about this, a lot of that is going on today. Many people are not hearing from God. It's not God's not speaking. It's we're not listening. We're not listening as we should. God's speaking to us every day, consistently, always. He has never stopped. It is us that has been too consumed by things. God's always speaking, folks. He's always calling. He's always nudging. Again, do we hear him? Or does it sometimes feel like the word of the Lord is rare and there aren't that many visions? You see, folks, when I was writing this, you know, and I had to look for illustrations and I hadn't looked for the update. I think I need to go back and update it. But according to the data, when this was written, and this was written back in September, but according to the data from the Gun Violence Archives, the amount of mass shootings just in the United States this year is just about equal to the number of days. And this was dated back in September 8th, of this year. But the amount of mass shootings this year is almost equal to the number of days. And when this was written back in September 8, it was 251st day of the year. And since then, there were 248 mass shootings in the United States. Wow. Does it sometimes feel like the word of the Lord is rare for us? It sure can seem that way, doesn't it? It's like everybody, and I'm going to use my favorite language, it's like everybody now is going nuts. I dread sometimes going out to Walmart. It seems like people's just going nuts. My goodness. What voices are we hearing or listening to? Or, we better be careful because a lot of times we can be caught up in this too. Are we listening to a bunch of no good for nothing garbage? Are we? Are we listening to a bunch of no good nonsense? Folks, those are the wrong voices. Those voices is captivating our ears. You know, it's tickling our ears and we're getting caught up in that because we're getting sucked down to that rotten filth of garbage. All that stuff we're getting caught up in is good for nothing. It doesn't serve no purpose. We're not focused on hearing the voice of Christ anymore. We're not even focused on allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And now when you look at this, that our world has been caught up in a COVID tornado since March of 2020 last year. And there are a lot of snake oil salespeople racking up lots of minutes on the airwaves and in our eardrums and on social media, burning up our ears with all kinds of stuff. Now it's getting hard to know what is true and what is false. These people coming all out the woodworks, man. Look, you ain't got to be on Facebook very long. You can see it yourselves. Half the time when I look at my browser, I'm like, I don't want to see that no more. But you can't block it. I'm trying to block all that stuff. At least I'm doing pretty good on Facebook, at least. I'm putting a lot of stuff in my email, spamming this and spam that, spam this, and block, 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 filter, 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 filter. Man, it's like I got to filter out sometimes 10, 15 emails a morning because of this COVID junk. These people coming out of the woodworks everywhere. And I hate to say this, so many so-called Christians are getting caught up in it. Every time I turn around and talk to a child of God, they're talking about this stuff in the world. They're talking about the COVID. They're talking about the vaccine. They're talking about the dangers. They talk about the theories. They talk about this. They talk about that. I talked to a sister yesterday for an hour. 1 hour. And she's a pastor's wife. And she not mentioned Jesus once. And my heart was heavy. My goodness. When I got through with her, I went to talk to another brother, and the first thing come out of his mouth was about the vaccine mandates. I'm like, oh, goodness, I can't get away from it. I had to stop him. I said, brother, look, please, don't get mad at me. I don't want to hear it. What's new in the Word of God today? Well, Jim, you need it. I'm not going to be rude at you, brother, but you know what? If that's all you're going to talk to me about in this conversation, then we're done. Whoa, come, what's wrong with you, boy? You act like you got an attitude. No, I ain't got an attitude because, again, it's all that garbage. It's all the wrong voices. I'm sick and tired of hearing this because, again, I think what's happening to us is Satan is using all this to distract us Christians from hearing from God. That's what he's doing. Look at all the churches today. Look at all the gatherings of Christians. Man, they all caught up in all this stuff that you're hardly ever hearing anything about revivals, fellowship, God, Jesus, salvation, lost souls. And some people may just throw their hands up and say, well, where's God in all this? It can be extremely difficult to listen for God. But isn't that exactly what all of us needs to do? Is anger and fear all that is to this life, this world, or higher purpose, or gated communities as we're seeing now, ridiculously expensive car, embarrassing expensive clothing, and some of these stuff that you see these people wearing on the internet, oh my goodness. Well, my word, go ahead and just take everything off and let us see. Good grief. This stuff is just blowing in the wind. What is this great world and life are about? Why did God create us? Is this what brings us happiness and fulfillment? Are we meant to be self-centered and miserably? Or being miserable? Or is there another way? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Or is this life just a cruel joke? Is it at all meaningless? Or really, is there a meaning? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason to live? Is there? See, when you look at Hannah, Samuel's mother, she was at the end of her rope. She was not able to have children. And she very much wanted to be a mother. So she took a chance. She promised God that if she could have a son, she would dedicate him to God's service. She became pregnant and had a son and named him Samuel, which means, can someone tell me what Samuel means real quick? I know we might not have some fast typers here. Can someone tell me what Samuel means? Well, what it means, God heard. God heard. So she kept her promise to God, and Samuel grew up in the temple from a very young age. He lived in the temple, he slept in the temple, he helped the high priest Eli to take care of the temple. Basically, he was a full-time altar boy, so we can kind of say that. And the Bible says that Samuel slept, and boy, look, and this is what I really was, man, this is cool. But the Bible says that Samuel slept in the same room as the Ark of the Covenant, or we call it the Ark of God. He slept in the very same room. Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful for us to sleep in the very same room? Boy, that would be so cool. You see, folks, the Ark of the Covenant really was where God, let me back up. The Ark of the Covenant was where the power of God was most present. And Samuel was about 12 years old at the time. When God first called Samuel, now here's this young lad, he was just thinking, well, Samuel was thinking, that's Eli who's calling. He wasn't expecting God to speak. He hadn't been listening for God. It just wasn't something that people did. And finally, like I said, the light bulb moment, ding, Eli realized this. He realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. And Samuel went back and he lay down and he waited and listened carefully for God's voice. See, sometimes Christian friends, mentors, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, pastors can point us to God's voice. Other times, it may be a homeless person or someone who's hungry or an act of kindness towards you or a door we open to God, a commitment on our part to do the right thing. Before we know it, God's voice is booming in our hearts and in our minds. We know that's God telling us something. In any event, Eli told Samuel, hey, God was calling him. And Samuel became expectant. He was expecting. When Eli finally told him, hey, dude, God's calling you. Wow. He was expecting. He was ready to hear from God. He was ready, folks. Are you? See, I can recount on this because I remember having a pastor that I was under once in 18 years ago who was sure of himself that I was being called into the ministry. And when he came and talked to me, another pastor came and talked to me. And when the fifth one came and talked to me, I started thinking, whoa, are they like Eli and God's calling? But apparently I'm not listening or I'm missing the mark or something somewhere or whatever. But that's when they told me this. I started listening. Yes, Lord, your servant is here. Speak. And I started hearing. It took me a bit to understand what the calling was. I didn't know what the calling was. I never experienced that before. I was a heathen before I became a born-again believer. And finally, I decided to heed to God's calling. Now, this is what you see today. What events in your life or people in your life has God used in order for you to better be able to hear God's voice? Have you ever thought about that? What events or people that God has used in order to better you to able to hear God's voice? Think about that one. Perhaps you hadn't heard anything yet, okay, and there's nothing wrong. But look, folks, I'm not talking about some kind of audible voice like I'm speaking to you now. Yes, God speaks through us through teachers and preachers and ministers and so forth and people. He does. A lot of times when I'm listening to a sermon, or I'm listening to a Sunday school teacher or whatever, somebody prophesizing the word, bam, it hits me. God starts speaking to me. I know what he's saying. We know his voice. As Jesus said, the sheep shall hear my voice. Can God speak in an audible voice today out of heaven? Yes, I firmly believe he can. But we got to be careful of people who make claims. God has spoken to me, thus saith the Lord. I get a little iffy when people start coming up to me. Thus saying the Lord, he told me to come talk to you. And I go, whoa. What do you mean God told you to come talk to me? Are you trying to say God's not powerful? He cannot speak to me directly? Now, I get a little iffy about that. I never, ever approach anyone and say, hey, you know God told me to come tell you this? No. Because if God really wants to tell you something, he's going to tell you one way or the other. Be careful with people like that. But can he still speak to us in audible voices? I firmly believe when God chooses, if he wants to, he can. Nothing limits God. Or maybe you hadn't heard anything for a very long time. Sometimes I go through periods what I call dry spells. Or you may have heard this reference. I call it tending sheep in the backside of the desert. Moses did for 40 years before he heard God. Now, I sometimes hope that I ain't got to wait another 40 years because I'd probably be standing up on a walker right now with a bunch of hearing aids and everything else. So, look, I'm 61, folks, so I don't know. I hope I ain't got to wait no 40 more years to start hearing more things from God. But maybe you hadn't heard nothing in a very long time. So how can you become ready to hear? And you're probably wondering, okay, Jim, how can I be ready to hear? Well, first things first, you have to ask yourself this. And I had to do this recently with myself. That's why I kind of posted a little message in the room about, you know, okay, I'm not going to be too much focused on the chat room. I'm kind of taking a less of a proactive approach to it because, again, I'm focused on other things at the moment in my life. But if you hadn't heard from God in a while and you're ready to hear, here's what you need to ask yourself. What distractions do I need to move out of the way in order to be prepared to hear God's call? You hear this? What distractions you have in your life that you need to get out of the way in order to be prepared to hear God's call? So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. We see in verse 10 that we are told that the Lord came and stood there. Do you see that? Look at verse 10, folks. The Lord came. Oh, look. He didn't float. He didn't fly. Whew. The Lord came and stood, calling at other times. The Lord was standing there calling Samuel. So you notice those words, folks. Calling at other times. Not in some new way, but at other times. But in the way that God has been calling all along. God's always calling us as well. So he will be able to stand in your very own room. He may be standing right next to you right now while you are listening to this. And he's probably looking at you and he's probably speaking to you. But are you listening? Are you? What has you distracted? Or some of you, y'all just got this thing loaded and you're cruising the internet and looking at stuff through Google and you're just trying to pay attention to what old Brother Jim's saying. Are you doing that? Or you got the TV on? Or are you texting? I don't know. I can't see you. But this time when you notice, when God called Samuel, Samuel said, "Speak, speak, for your servant is listening." Isn't that awesome? Come on, people, give me an amen. Isn't that awesome? When he stood there and said, "Lord, speak." But how many of us really want to hear God's voice? How many of us? I do. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. It can be risky to ask God to speak. Why? Why am I saying it can be risky to ask God to speak? For one, we know the phrase, be careful for what you ask for. Because if you ask God, say, God, here I am, your servant. Send me where you want to go. Be careful, because he might send you someplace you're not ready to go. So when you ask God to speak, how many of us really do want to hear him? Because when God speaks, it changes our lives. And if we listen, then we act on it. Now, some folks may not understand you whenever you might tell someone, well, the Lord spoke to my heart to do this. And they might look at you funny, boy, like, you are nuts. You're crazy. Cool, she's cuckoo. She said, God told her to go do this for the homeless. God told her to go give. God told her to do that. God told her to go do that. Man, that woman's off of rockers. Well, that dude must be kind of going bonkers. Who cares what they say? If God speaks to you and you listening, do as he says to do. Don't resist it. I've done so a few times, and I regretted it. I've done so a few times, he had to knock me upside my head. But because no matter of the details of the call, God always calls us away from self and selfishness into a new life lived for God and neighbor. In other words, he calls us to die to self. We, and my wife said it great the other morning. She got a little tongue-tied at it, so I had to correct her. She got it backwards, but I knew where her heart meant. She says, well, we ought to be in the world. I mean, she says, I'm getting tongue-tied. The way she said it, she says, we are not of the world, but we ought to be in the world. I said, no, not really. I said, we are not to be of the world, but yet we are in the world. There's a little difference. You get a little mixed up. I get it mixed up sometimes. But we got to be careful not to let the world creep in. If Blaster was here today, he probably can relate to this because he mentioned it, I think, last week, that he's letting some things creep into his life. And folks, we're constantly being bombarded every day with texts, stories on Facebook, debates, arguments. I'm not trying to put this into a vaccine debate or whatever, folks. But you need to step back and think about this. If you're getting caught up in all that, you're not listening to God, because that's garbage. Garbage in is garbage out. We need to listen to God and see what God wants us to do. There are people dying in this world today, and we're not hardly preaching Jesus. I've been guilty of that myself. So if we heed the call of God, if you heed God's words, if you heed to his calling, I promise you, as I learned, you will never be the same again. I think Lisa said this a little bit earlier, but isn't that what life is all about? Isn't that what life is all about? Hearing from God. Do you want to know the will of God for your life in every moment of your life? Do you? Do you want to love God and other people? Do you? Do you want to live the life the way that God intended for you to live? Do you want to do good that God has prepared in advance for you to do? Do you want to be free to do all that? It's hard to do if we are in a what's in it for me mentality. How will that benefit me? How will that help me mindset? If you're in it for that, if you're in it for what's in it for me, you're not listening to the correct voices. You're listening to the wrong ones. It should not be, what's in this for me, God? I got to get something out of this. That's how it's going to work. No, folks, that is not how it works. You're going to ask God a question? You're going to seek him out? And I've been doing this a lot lately. The last several mornings, I've been asking God in a still voice, God, what do you want me to do? What is it you want of me? And yes, folks, I've been asking, where do you want me to go? And I'm listening. And I'm waiting patiently. And I ask that questions every morning. Every morning. See, if God's going to send me some way off missionary or something, whatever, look, then I should not be afraid, because again, if God is going to do those such things, he is going to provide the means and the way. Be not afraid to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Listening to God is like listening to anyone before you can hear him. You must be ready to listen. Just as in a conversation, like when we have conversations, you cannot hear the other person if you're doing all the talking and your mind is distracted. That's a fact. You can't hear the other person if you're doing all the talking and if your mind's distracted. So it is with God. If you want to hear him speak, you must be quiet. You must be focused. You must be still and listen to what he is saying. Amen. Let's pray.